Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have a fascinating guest and a man that went on a journey of exploration in his life that brought him into contact with some fascinating people. And we're going to be finding out more about this enigmatic man, Felix Wolf. And we can all be jealous of him, those of us here on the mainland, because he is in the beautiful environment of Hawaii, the Waikiki environment. The sun is shining. The ocean is so many different colors of blues and greens.
How do you know?
Absolutely. I've been there more than once. I used to broadcast there for years. And so I'm well acquainted with that. So we're going to just pretend all of us sitting around here that have got storms raging outside of our windows, rain's coming down, or snow, something like this. We are going to join Felix in mind in that gorgeous environment. Hi, Felix. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thank you for having me.
It is a delight having you as a guest. You have put together a book, and we were chatting a little bit before we went on air, The Art of Navigation, and this is about your life journey, and one of the teachers that had such an impact on your life is a very well-known man, Carlos Castaneda, and there was so much that went on that caused you to follow a direction that I don't think you would have thought was going to evolve, and I want my audience to know about you. Not only are you a writer, you also teach, you're a transformational healer. You have degrees in cognitive psychology and oriental medicine, and you had an event that occurred with a 2-year writing retreat in Sri Lanka that caused your life to just spin into a direction that was absolutely amazing, and you found that shamanic and energy medicine has become a very significant part of your life. You do workshops, you lecture internationally, and you're even in the process right now of writing another book. But let's get to this one, because I was intrigued with much of what you said and also some of the questions that you ask. And right off the bat, in the introduction of your book, there is a question was put out there, what does life want me to do and how can I find out? That question right there, that is such a big question, and I don't think I've met many people that haven't wanted to ask that question. And if they did ask it, just sit there looking like lost puppies because they just don't have any idea about how to get an answer for it.
Well,
Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was actually, I was sitting a long time over how to give an entry into what I understand the art of navigating life to be, and I found that, you know, approaching it from these questions, it sets it apart from how most people approach life. So most everyone is familiar with the question, like, what do I want to do with life, or how can I get the most out of life? It sounds like a perfectly okay or constructive question, how can I get the most out of life? But like you said, the question could also be like, what does life want me to do and how can I find out? And if you sit over these two kinds of questions, you realize that they are radically different. If you ask that, how can I get the most out of life? What should I do with my life? You're kind of treating life like an object of sorts. You understand yourself being separate from it, and what you would use your mind, your rational mind and reasoning and strategy and planning to go through life, which is all right, but there is definitely another way which we were much more familiar in the distant past, the intuitive way, the way that included sort of integrating things like omens and signs and hunches, intuition, synchronicities. And while everybody is still very familiar with this, and everybody likes to marry on an altar when a rainbow is just on top of it, everybody loves the feeling when you go to a business meeting and all the lights are green and parking space opens up. We don't really trust this to the degree that we would build our entire life on this kind of active communication with the spirit of life itself.
You have a beautiful poem. It's part of the Song for a Salmon, which reads as follows. But now that I've spoken of that great sea, the ocean of longing shifts through me. The blessed inner star of navigation moves in the dark sky above, and I am ready like the young salmon to leave his river, blessed with hunger for a great journey on the drawing tide. Those words, I read them, and to me they are very profound.
It gives me the chill still
mm-hmm.
to this day.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It is a poem by David White. It is by David White, who is actually living not too far from where you are, on Whidbey Island off of Seattle. And I absolutely adore him, and he's so connected. And this is the end of a poem he wrote, maybe my favorite poem, the poem of his. And
well, it suits your material very, very nicely.
Very much so. In particular, I was intrigued by that concept of the drawing tide. You know, that maybe it's easy to overread it, overlook it, that the drawing tide, you know, that the young salmon coming down the river, and at some point it not only is carried by the river, it feels the drawing tide, it smells, it tastes the ocean, its destination, it's pulled by some new unknown force. And that's the point in everybody's spiritual journey, when you feel that, wow, I don't really have to do it alone. There is something that is carrying me, cradling me and pulling me. And this is an extremely critical moment in one's spiritual journey. And that poem, it describes it so beautifully.
Nahual, this is what you called Carlos Castaneda.
Yeah.
And there's more than one on the planet, but a Nahual does not lead, and I'm quoting from your book by volition, personal ambition is not on their tablet of activities, but the unmanifested utilizes a Nahual's peculiar energetic makeup to inform the manifested, and the only variable available to a Nahual is his or her degree of impeccability. Now, I find very fascinating, because we're talking about human beings, and the impeccability is something that many can never really have. So that is due diligence on our part. Give us a little bit of information about how you met Carlos and why it was that you had this affinity for this man. Did he choose you? Did you choose him? Did you come together because there was something that both of you needed to fulfill, and it was through each other that was going to happen?
Well, this is a big question, and I don't know if there is any answer I could put this into a concise form. You know, this is maybe if you allow me just a few words. It was just a term that he used himself, and in this lineage where he came from, and where he was instructed in the particular belief system that he lived by, and he taught us and me. And Nahual was a guide, you know. It was sort of like Castaneda for me. He was two entities. One was the person, Carlos Castaneda. He was an author, and he was an academic. He had a PhD in anthropology, which kind of put him in touch. The research for this PhD put him in touch with his teacher, a gentleman he called Juan Matus, and where he became an apprentice and where he truly listened. So and in a while is not the personal side. It's just simply the conduit side of a teacher. It's the energy, the finger that's pointing to the moon. It for me, there was a very clear distinction between the person, Carlos Castaneda, and what we refer to as the Nahual, which was just that energy configuration that guided us on this path. And how did I meet him? I met him the first time in Sri Lanka, completely unexpected and unsolicited. I didn't even know about him. I had read a book, his first book, prior to that, but I didn't even like it. It was too anthropological, too scientific at the point, and I just wasn't interested. And when I met him, I didn't know it was him. He didn't tell me his real name, and it was just a very, very mysterious and intriguing meeting that we had in a mountain town in Sri Lanka where I lived at the time for a year. And so I didn't know him. I didn't recognize him as such. Only 10 years later, when I finally saw a picture of Carlos Castaneda, then I recognized that this was actually the man I had met in the mountains of Sri Lanka. But he slipped one of his books into my possession, and with some magical force, I was just completely drawn into his work, into his belief system, and it turned my life around 180 degrees, just like I said initially, from like what to do with my life, I suddenly saw life coming alive, you know, just being there, just having constantly communication to offer and signs and omens. And I was incredibly intrigued living life like this, like a treasure hunt, like a game, and always on the lookout for signs, omens, synchronicities. And it was marvelous. It was fantastic to live like that. And The last words of when we parted, that gentleman, Castaneda, when I met him in Sri Lanka, not knowing him, was, "You're gonna find me." They asked him how I could get in touch with him ever, and I said, "You're gonna find me." And I did indeed find him in 1994 in Los Angeles, sort of by fortune, by good luck, and by some sort of like a deep intuition and persistence on my part. And then I studied with him for maybe 3.5 years until he died in 1998.
One of the comments that is made about him is that when you were learning from him, your eyes were opened. It's like you came out of a deep sleep to what shapes our perceptions of the world and how we are perceiving our reality about ourselves. And you made the statement that he made you aware of how the compulsive internal dialogue that we have every day, this is something that everybody goes through. I don't know of anybody that does, no matter where they are in the world.
Yeah.
It really makes our description of the world as we are supposedly seeing it. And this is something that it comes from indoctrination that we get from birth. And one of the things that he wanted to teach was to stop this process so that you are no longer in that common thread of emotional, spiritual, whatever mentality that you have, and get back in touch with the self. Now, this is something that is really a challenge because it is not an easy thing to do. Now, when you were in these classes with him, and this is just one tiny speck of what he worked with, what kind of exercises did he do with you so that you would be able to disengage from what had been hardwired into your brain?
Well, yeah, that was the main agenda, if you want. His main agenda was to assist us in generating what he referred to as internal silence, because he felt that what you just described so beautifully, this internal dialogue, it serves like in a way like blinds or like a screen that obscures sort of the infinity or like the entire possibility of existence. It just kind of locks us down. It's just like you are in a room with all around windows and all the blinds are down, and the blinds are your internal dialogue. You're constantly telling yourself how the world is and how you relate to it, and sometimes the older we get, the narrower this space that remains inside this internal dialogue becomes. So what he taught to counteract this tendency was, for once, just movements, you know, I mean, comparable to Qigong. He called them tensegrity. It was a word he borrowed from Buckminster Fuller. It's a combination of tension and integrity. It had a lot to do with just like moving the body through tension and relaxation and developing a certain integrity of, how should I say, energetic architecture. But these movements were often very complex and lay many, many parts to it. And so you needed the utmost concentration to go through that, to remember them, and that made you very silent, just like an elaborate dance form would do, like flamenco or tango, or you have to concentrate on it. Mm-hmm. And other things, he just, he had us lay down on the ground on the back and put some weight on our lower belly, like what in Oriental medicine we call the dantian, or like the power chakra, that kind of mm-hmm. creates a certain silence. He had all kinds of fancy, interesting little contraptions, like where you're leaning forward while sitting down, and a little stick that presses on your third eye. So these kind of things. We also advised us while walking anywhere to focus our attention peripherally instead of on something fixed or on nothing at all, meaning on both sides simultaneously. That also kind of blocks the mind. But I may want to add something here, because over time, and I've continued this path, and what I find while it was really difficult, even with all these assistance and methods to quiet down the internal dialogue and see what happens, what kind of fantastic experience results if we actually manage to be silent, I find it actually better and easier to work with your attention. Not so much on focusing to stopping the thoughts, because it seems impossible. Thoughts will mm-hmm. always come in, but we have the power of our attention. We can let thoughts come in and just let them come in and go out, because our attention we have control over, so we do not have to leave our attention on a certain thought. So maybe it's the same, but I find it much easier to approach it from this angle. You understand what I mean? Not so much mm-hmm. like expecting a situation or intending a scenario where there's no thoughts ever entering your mind, which I found and many people find next to impossible. I find it, on the other hand, fairly manageable to stay with my attention, to put my attention on my attention, so to speak, and direct it away from thoughts or thought constructs or concepts, you know, to the point where you just kind of turn it inward, even, you know, mm-hmm. 180 degrees, and just turn it on yourself, on the sense of being or the I am-ness, and that beautifully does the job, if you want. That beautifully does the job in creating silence and independence from our conditioning.
One of the many points that you bring out in your book, and I love the title of the chapter, A Dance with Impermanence. And right in the very beginning, you've already traveled over 12,000 miles, had so many experiences that you write about in your book, The Art of Navigation, which I think is great to share with people. But you had already had one encounter with death. When you're writing this chapter, you start off with the second encounter with death that was very dramatic. And you were in an experience that was surreal, but you went through it all the way to the end. Tell my audience what happened.
Are you referring to that attack on our life in Sri Lanka?
No, I'm referring to the one where you were driving in your VW.
That was my very first one. Yeah, that was
That's your first one. I thought that was the second one.
No, that was I was still in Germany at the time, and it was my first car, my VW, and I with my high school sweetheart, I was driving up a fairly steep mountain. It happened to be vineyards on it, just to see the sunset, very romantic impulse, see the sunset behind the Dome of Strasbourg, which is in France, just across the River Rhine, where we were at the time. and I was a little late, and I was going a little fast, and there was sand on the road. And once when I tried to brake down at one of those hairpin curves, is that the right term? You know, like very sharp curves. There was nothing gripping, and I just and my little VW with the two of us inside, it just sailed right over the edge into the blue sky, and it was very steep, and it was a tremendously interesting experience. It was really eye opening for the rest of my life, because we went through what you would classically read in books about this kind of moments. I had no doubt at that moment that we are going to die, because it was about 1,000 feet going down, very steep, and we were like in the whole car was the entire car was in the air, and so I knew I was going to die. And then time stopped. You know, I mean, I know it sounds far out, but time stopped completely, and I had all the leisure and time in the world to go through my entire life in all detail as long as I wanted. And when I was done, a deep sense of contentment and happiness and oneness with everything had settled in, then the lights went out. And the next thing I noticed was that I find myself kneeling on the inside on the roof of the car. The car had kind of rolled down the hill 4.5 times, rolled over, and we were fortunate enough that the vineyard that was there were metal wires on that kept the vines up. They wrapped around the car and slowly slowed down its tumble down the hill, and so we were kind of hanging in those wires on the hill and jumped out and survived and so on and so forth. But this realization, what happened, like that moment, the relativity of time and this not a trace of threat or terror or fear. And I was young. It's not that I had lived the big life already. It was just, I mean, it was nearly blissful, this experience.
Mm-hmm. You talk also in your book about intention. And you say our intentions originate from our beliefs, and it is absolutely precious and valuable. So we need to be aware of our intentions and really examine them. And one of the points you bring out, which I wholeheartedly agree with, is don't worry about trying to change anybody else's patterns. Look at your own. Take care of numero uno first. Why do you think that's so hard for us to do?
Well, yeah, we all. That's the whole story. Like we started out this conversation, you know, we always we think we can change the world. You know, why it is? Well, the world is as it is, and the only thing we can affect is ourselves, and that's our life's journey, our destiny, if you want. And I don't know why we don't see it, or why it seems easier to change everything else. But the intent is a very good point you bring up, because while it is at the core of our life in so many ways, because it kind of shapes, it's like the projector that kind of throws the film onto the screen. It's like it's really, it couldn't be more central to our life experience. It is vastly misunderstood. Just more in recent years, with the you know, the secret and this law of attraction coming into the public attention, it's been even more deeply driven in the misunderstanding about intent. It's always mistaken about with volition and wanting or even needing something. I remember watching the movie The Secret, and I couldn't even watch it to the end with a little kid standing in front of a shop window and the bicycle of his dreams being inside, and just it felt like if you just try hard enough, you're going to get this bicycle. This is terrible. This is a really, really bad idea to cultivate the neediness and the wanting. Intent, to cultivate intent, which in a way it is what we want, but it's not what we want with our mind, it's what we want with our heart, and we cannot just simply change it or affect it by deciding so. The best way to deal with intent is to examine it, like you said, correctly, to examine, to look into it, to even find out what our intent even might be, or if we have conflicting intents, you know, about things in the world, and if they cancel each other out. And I think just by the pure inquiry into our intent, we can do a lot of good to our life experience.
Castaneda, wrote the book, The Eagle's Gift, and it goes into a lot of various points of information, but you bring out how the eagle was such a powerful, powerful symbol, and you felt that the eagle and its eyes were the perfect archetype for universal awareness. Why?
Well, I think that's very intuitive. I mean, in that there's mythology and Native American lore, and you find a lot of animal archetypes, and I think that's also easily misunderstood, because on a deep level, that was for a long time confounding, that in this belief system that Castaneda kind of brought to our attention, the eagle was a very central force. It was sort of the central force of the universe. Now, if you think of why would an eagle be the central force of the universe, it sounds pretty arbitrary and rather ridiculous. But if you look at an eagle, I mean, just go on Google and Google up images of eagles, and there's one universally striking thing about the eagle, which is the eye. Is an incredibly intense eye. And even if we think of eagle, usually the word eye is very close by, so the eagle's eye, the eye of the eagle. So if you look into an eagle's eye, I think you can meditate on it, use it like a mantra, and you probably come to the feeling that it is indeed a very good symbol for just awareness itself. Pure awareness, pure unconditioned awareness.
I can share an experience with you, and the reason I asked the question is that I had a very profound experience doing a radio show here in my office a couple of years ago, and there was an eagle that actually flew directly at my eye level across the window in front of me, and we looked into each other's eyes, and it was quite a special experience. So I totally understand why that consideration would be, but I wanted to ask you the question.
Yeah, I didn't bring it up, you know. It was in Castaneda's work throughout, and I just felt commenting on it because I felt it was misunderstood.
There is a poem, and I know we're close to being out of time, that I want to share with the listeners. It's in your book. I am already given to the power that rules my fate. I cling to nothing, so I will have nothing to defend. I have no thoughts, so I will see. I fear nothing, so I will remember myself. Detached and at ease, I will dart past the eagle to be free. Those are beautiful words.
Well, another chill.
I've
never done an interview where I got three chills. You're really good. Thank you very much. Just reading my own words.
Thank you very much. I take that as a supreme compliment. Felix, I know we're just about out of time. You have so much wonderful information in your book, The Art of Navigation. You talk about broadcasting thoughts clearly, reflections, the power of silence, dreaming while you're awake, the Nahual's world, and so, so very, very much more. You have a website that people can go to that has a great deal of information on it, theartofnavigation.com, theartofnavigation.com. With my audience today, what would you like to leave them in the way of a thought?
Well, the heart, I think, comes to mind, which is kind of a pun by itself. But while this is what this, I think, at the core of our, the crux of our problems is that we tend to be willing to have the heart in mind, but we wouldn't be willing to go as far as to have the mind in our heart. So this may be as a little fun koan I'd love to part with.
Wonderful. The mind in the heart.
Instead of the heart in the mind.
Yes. Theartofnavigation.com, the book is titled The Art of Navigation. Felix Wolff has been my guest. Do check out his information. I think you'd find this book something that you will read and then have to mentally chew on it and let your mental papaya enzymes help you to digest some of it. It's very thought-provoking, and it creates a whole new dimension of perspective that maybe you've never had before. Felix Wolff, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a delight having you, and enjoy all of that delightful liquid gold. You can send a little bit over here to the Pacific Northwest.
I will. I'm waving both arms. Thank you so much. It was a great pleasure, Donna. Great pleasure.
It's wonderful.
Indeed.
It's wonderful, Felix. Have a great life, and let me know about your next book when it comes out.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
You're
Bye-bye.
Welcome. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Felix Wolff, The Art of Navigation. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. If you want to give me a buzz, call me at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. And I had meant to share with you today, I got the information from Yvonne Perry about the interview that we did on her program yesterday, and there is a link, and you can download the show, or you can just listen to the show, and I left it in my other office, so I will make sure that I bring it out and have it on my desk. Also, I got a wonderful little package in the mail from one of my listeners who sent me some of her homemade candy. Her name is Pat. She's in Connecticut. She is a regular listener. And Pat, if you're listening, I want you to know your recipe is wonderful. The candy was delicious. And it's a good thing it was a small package because I'd end up being a 5x5 and eating this wonderful candy. So I'm going to see if Pat's going to let me share the recipe with you. And if so, I'll be sharing that on the air. But you know what? There are so many good cooks in this world, and there are so many delicious things to taste. And I'm going, oh, this is super. And I had no idea this was in the package. It was a total surprise. So I want to thank her publicly for doing that. It was very, very sweet of her to do. And I sent her an email, and she'll let me know if I can share the recipe with you. But it's like a toffee brittle that is just wonderful with chocolate. Are you salivating yet? Trust me, good stuff here. This is the type of thing that you want to make sure you're running at least a 25-mile marathon so that it's not going to be a minute on the lips and end up for 20 years on the hips. Oh, is it good? You know, one of the things that happens that I think is so interesting, let me share this with you quickly. When I used to do a radio show, I had a weekly show, and this was back in the 90s. And I can remember talking about one of my dreams, wanting to go to Vienna, and it's still a dream of mine. And I had this wonderful, wonderful listener who contacted me, and she said, you know, I want your dream about going to Vienna to become fulfilled. And so she contacted me, and she got me and my husband tickets to a Vienna Waltz Spectacular that was being done in Seattle. It was an experience of a lifetime. She was such a doll. I got to meet her in person. And this was an event where waltzes were done and the ladies would come out in their evening gowns. It was just absolutely magical. And, of course, Vienna is one of those glamorous places where they have so much wonderful art, music, and just performances. I mean, it's just a wonderful environment. Well, I'll never forget when I was at this event and I got to meet some people that actually had the opportunity to go to Vienna. And we were having a delightful conversation and I was sort of chuckling to myself. I said, you know, I hear all about these wonderful chocolates that are done by the people in Vienna. And that I said, gee whiz, I would have to keep my husband away from that because one of his favorite items is marzipan covered in the rich, dark chocolate. He just loves marzipan. And, of course, for those of you that are not familiar with it, it's almond paste. It's just absolutely delicious. And the Europeans are masters at working with it. So, anyway, she said to me, oh, my dear, when you're in Europe, you never have to worry about it. You can go down to these wonderful little places. She said, we walk everywhere. Nobody gains any weight there because you're walking everywhere. You're not sitting in cars. She said, there's not really many fat people that you'll see because they're constantly moving. She said, I was on a trip over there. I ate chocolate to my heart's content and didn't put on a pound. In fact, I lost 5. And I thought, definitely want to go see that place. But I would just add a little comment here. So many times in our American way of life, we forget that we can do little things to keep us in good shape. And one of those simple activities is walking. It is amazing the difference that that can make. And we have become so acclimated to just driving everywhere. I mean, we drive our kids to school, which is silly. They should walk. We talk about obesity with kids. We've made it so that there's hardly any movement. And let's face it. If you don't move it, it's going to spread. You're just going to end up looking like a pumpkin. So if you stay active, you don't have to become an extremist. If you stay active and you move and maybe you take up dancing classes or you go walking with a buddy, it's absolutely the best thing you can do. And if you can't go out because the weather stinks, then I'd recommend getting a treadmill or finding a program you can do at home or find a gym you can go to. But you can enjoy good food. And I just want to come full circle, like to what I said about what Pat sent me. It's a delightful thing to enjoy delicious foods. Just remember, you can have good things in your life. You don't have to end up being a 5x5, but it does take moving. It does take being active. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756 is the toll-free number if you'd like to call in. If you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question after I give you whatever information I perceive about you, and then we'll just take it from there. Now, tomorrow, I want you to know we're going to be talking with Jeffrey Raisley, Bringing Progress to Paradise. This is a fascinating man. Jeffrey is a world traveler, and he's been to many different environments that might be called primitive by some people. And he says, progress is coming in to many different areas. Remember the Peruvian shaman that I had on at the beginning of the week? She told me after we finished the show that things are changing in Honduras and in many parts of South America, where people just were so literally backwards because they had no way of communicating. They lived in their little areas in the world. Well, now they're getting cell phones. And now they're becoming exposed to so many areas of communication, the internet, that was not available to them before. And she said it is really having an impact on their thinking and on how they're perceiving the world that is now theirs to be a part of. So we're going to be talking about how this affects people. Jeffrey is a fascinating man. Next week, we've got a great lineup. We're going to be talking about caregivers, the Tao Te Ching, William and Nancy Martin. They have been caretakers for a lot of years. These people have so much heart. So we're going to be talking with them on Monday. They have wonderful wisdom to share. And then we're going to be talking with Mr. Magna. He's known as the Tweezer Man. I've never even heard about this guy. Well, we're going to be talking about how he ended up becoming a multimillionaire dealing with the design of products to make women's life a lot better. And you know what? I found a place that carried his products. I'd never even noticed it before. So it shows you when you're not aware of something, you can't see it because you're not aware to even look for it. Then we're going to be talking about feeding your brain, lose your belly. That one, it should be very intriguing for you. Feeding your brain. Nutrition makes a difference, and you can be healthy and slim at the same time. Peak of the Devil. Now, this is something that when I saw the title, when I found out what the material was, I was really surprised. It's about peak oil. So we're going to be talking about the oil industry a week from today, and then we'll also be talking with Deanna Minnick about quantum healing. And this is something that I think you will find extremely interesting, different modalities that can enable us to deal with various situations. And, of course, we're then going for the last day of the month talking about the secrets of a hard-working dog, Bella the Boxer. Oh, is she special. This is Donna Sebo, and I want you to know you can give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. Also, we are going to be giving you information in the upcoming newsletter about appearances that I am going to be making, and you will be able to find out other broadcast information, etc. Now, before we go on break, I thought I would share with you some information. This is the time of year when we really want to clean out a lot of stuff. I know I've been shredding old files and doing things like this because I know my schedule is going to be so busy that I just thought I really needed to get to it. This is a perfect time of the year. And so I came across this information. I thought I would share it with you. If you have empty printer cartridges, oh, goodness, those things can stack up. Well, you can go to freerecycling.com, freerecycling.com, TonerBuyer.com, TonerBuyer.com, or AdvantageCartridge.com. And they, on their websites, they have free shipping labels, and they'll send you anywhere from $5 to $20 per cartridge, depending on what the cartridge is. What they probably do is end up refilling them and then selling them. Or you can take them to your local Staples store. They'll give you store credit right then and there. And if you have gotten a voucher for dance classes, you know, maybe during the holidays you got gifts, or maybe it's your birthday you got something, and you go, oh, gee whiz, I don't have time to use this. I'm really not interested in this. I appreciate the thoughtfulness of the gift, but I don't want it. Well, You can go to Lifesta, LISESTA.com, and you can sell it and get cash from people who will use what you're not interested in using. And if you've gotten gift cards to stores where you don't like shopping, you can go to CardWoo.com, CardWoo.com, GiftCardRescue.com, or PlasticJungle.com. They buy your gift cards. They pay up to 90% of whatever the balance is on the card. Well, I know we've got to take a break. I just thought I'd share those two little goodies with you. When we come back, I've got some other good things to share. So don't go away. We're going to be talking a little bit about CSI. Ever watched it? My husband's favorite program. I'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on RawEnergyRadio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on RawEnergyRadio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. RawEnergyRadio.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'd be delighted to give you some intuitive insight. 888-815-9756. And don't forget, tomorrow we're going to have Jeffrey Raisley on. We're going to be talking about what happens when you bring technology, progress, into areas of the world that some might consider a paradise. Not necessarily those people living there, but you might, because it doesn't have all the entanglements that modern civilization has. I told you I was going to talk a little about CSI. Well, that is one of my husband's favorite programs. And I was talking with our engineer, and I was telling him about another program that I really like called Without a Trace. Now, the reason I enjoy these programs, I mean, heck, I even like Murder, She Wrote. It's because of the plots. It's because of the aspects of human personality that they bring out, and also forensic investigation. Well, that is really very, very hot at this time, but I came across some material that deals with the real world regarding forensic evidence, and I have had the opportunity of interviewing on my show forensic investigators. And there is so much that they have today that they can look at. So I'll take this caller first, and if I have time, I'll chat with you about this because it's really intriguing stuff. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. Really enjoying your show. This is Stephen calling from Canada.
Hi, Stephen. So glad you're calling from Canada. Did you enjoy the guest today, Felix?
Oh, it was really interesting. Your show is really interesting every day.
Thank you.
I really enjoy it.
I'm so glad. That's what I hope to
do. You're fantastic. You ask the best questions, really.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Stephen, let's get down to business with you. You're really going to have to roll up those shirt sleeves because, well, actually, I'm looking at shirt sleeves already rolled up, but it's like, okay, they got to go up a little bit higher on the arm because you're really going to be dedicated and consistent and persistent about getting things done. No ifs, ands, or buts. No nonsense. You are not going to be getting sidetracked. This is very important because starting as of February the 2nd, there is a plan of action that you're going to be implementing. You might even start a little bit earlier. But you are going to be implementing this plan of action, and it is going to be something that your total focus and concentration is well placed, because without it, you're going to be flip-flopping around like a fish by June. If you stay focused and concentrated, that will not happen. In fact, by the 13th of March, you should have things pretty much flowing the way they're supposed to. There is a disappointment I'm seeing you having in a friend. You're going to a little bit of a degree, feel like you've been betrayed, but you haven't been. What I think is really occurring is that you've finally taken off the rose-colored glasses regarding this friend. You're not trying to intellectualize anything. You're just really looking at the person for who they are. No excuses, no exaggerations, just this is the way it is. You'll be right on the money. It is not being critical. It is looking at facts. And I'm seeing you then distancing yourself from this friend, realizing that this was not truly a friend. You've awakened to the reality, and you just move on. There's no anger. There's no hate. There's no resentment. You just say, gee, I finally woke up. It's very simple. But it will have taken you a period of time to get there. And it's not good, and it's not bad. You don't have to make any excuses. You don't have to explain anything. You'll be able to distance yourself very nicely and very easily. What question do you have for me, Stephen?
Well, you're right on. I'm definitely rolling up the shirt sleeves. my question for you, actually, I've been told a couple of times in my life that I have intuitive abilities that I ought to develop. And I'm wondering if you feel that I have the potential for developing my intuition and with what potential I might have.
Let me answer your question in this way. Everyone is born with intuitive capacity. The challenge is finding the venue that we're most comfortable with. That means you have to be mindfully attentive to what you feel, to what you are aware of. Let me give you an example. When, let's say you're walking through a city you're visiting, and you come to a corner, and all of a sudden you feel like you got a wall in front of you. There's nothing there. And it's like something inside of you says, stop here, turn around, wrong place of town to be in. Now, this is totally illogical. Broad daylight. You're there, and you're going, I don't get it. What's going on? Where's this coming from? Paying attention means that you turn around and you walk back, and maybe you go sit in a restaurant and you say, can you tell me about this section of town? And they might say, oh my goodness, you don't want to be there. That's where they're having problems with drug trafficking. We just had people that were robbed day before yesterday. Now that is almost like a psychometric type of a situation. But you're getting it in the sensory system in such a way that it's like an aha. Now, you can totally ignore it. Maybe nothing will happen to you, but maybe you end up having somebody take something off your person, or a present you've gotten for somebody disappears or whatever, and you go, wow, I should have listened to my intuition, my gut. Men typically will respond differently to the intuitive processes. It's not good, it's not bad. It's just different from the way women respond. And I think you just have to be mindfully attentive to what is going on. Now, Stephen, I'd be happy to go into more detail about this with you, but we're out of time.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You are very welcome. I hope that answered your question a tiny bit.
Absolutely.
A tiny bit. And thank you so very much for your nice comments and compliments. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you, Stephen. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we're out of time. This hour just flew by. Well, I'll have to talk about forensic investigation another day. Right, right. Okay, we've got a great show coming up tomorrow. I hope you'll join me. Tell your friends, and don't forget those archives on bbsradio.com. They have them there, so if you've missed the show, you'll be able to find out more about it. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It belongs to no one. It's yours. Take good care of it. This is Donna Sebo. See you back here tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.